and don't move when you speak. Okay, so one and two.
The crowds gathered in St. Peter's Square. Thousands upon thousands of the faithful waited in hushed anticipation for the pontiff to emerge on the balcony and raise his hands in benediction. The fasting and the prayers were over. The feast of San Gennaro would be ushered in with the pealing of the twilight angelus echoing throughout the Vatican, and the bells would be heard throughout all Rome, heralding merriment and good feeling. The blessing of Pope Francesco I would be the signal to begin. There would be dancing in the streets and torches and candlelight and music and wine. In the Piazza Navona, the Trevi, even sections of the Palatine, long tables were heaped with pasta and fruit and all manner of home-produced pastries. For had not this pontiff, the beloved Francesco, given the lesson, open your hearts and your cupboards to your neighbour, and his to you. Let all men high and low understand that we are one family.
One and three.
There's no doubt of that.
Sort of balding and not as bad as it might have 50s. Been. The left front wheel was horizontal, the diode multi-handed print operations. Not as bad as Broadcom. The rest plan of the damage was a minimum of six newspapers.
Tomorrow a
just
dozen,
scrapes, dance,
with totally
scratches.
Diversified copy.
Chief on the ground
contacts at the New York Times, Washington Post, Los Angeles Times,
back in the brush,
and the Wall Street Journal are merely waiting for the first shoe to drop.
On the back
they call it survival.
Bloom of dust produced
you can
by
add the Toronto Globe and Mail and the Edmonton Journal to the list.
She watched it,
completed
thinking
the
about
this
immediate
the
problem,
youngish Canadian,
getting a tow truck
alive
out here to
roll
in
the
beach, thinking about the 5 or 6 miles would
when
have
I returned,
to get
I'm heading
to
west to initiate
thinking about the $700 or $800 it was going to cost to patch up the damaged brick.
And the Vancouver
thinking
Sun.
About such things was far
your
more pleasant than considering a secondary
said
problem,
the son of the shepherd boy.
Which was
but keep in mind
like
the walls of Atta.
Two and three.
Open your hearts and your cupboards to your neighbour, and his to you. Let all men high and low understand that we are one family. In these times of hardship and chaos and high prices, what better way to overcome but to enter into the Spirit of the Lord and truly show love for thy neighbour? For a few days let rancours subside and divisions be healed. Let the word go forth that all men and brothers, all women sisters, and altogether brothers and sisters, and very much each other's keepers. For but a few days let charity and grace and concern rule the hearts of everyone, sharing the sweet and the sad, for there is no evil that can withstand the force of good. Embrace, raise the wine, show laughter and tears, and accept one another in expressions of love. Let the world see there is no shame in the exaltation of the Spirit. And once having touched, having heard the voices of brother and sister, carry forth the sweet memories beyond the feast of San Gennaro, and let life be guided by the principles of Christian benevolence. The earth can be a better place. It is up to the living to make it so. That was the lesson of Francesco I.
Altogether.
A hush fell over the tens of thousands in St. Peter's Square. Any second now the figure of the beloved Il Papa would walk with strength and dignity and great love onto the balcony and raise his hands in benediction and for the Angelus to begin. Within the high-ceilinged Vatican chambers above the square, cardinals, monsignors and priests talked amongst themselves in groups, their eyes continuously straying to the figure of the pontiff seated in the corner. The room was resplendent with vivid colours. Scarlets, purples, immaculate whites, robes and cassocks and headpieces, symbols of the highest offices in the church, swayed and were turned, giving the illusion of a constantly moving fresco. And in the corner, seated in a wing chair of ivory and blue velvet, was the Vicar of Christ, Pope Francesco I. He was a plain man of wide girth and the strong yet gentle features of a...
The final piece.
So you just stand up there. We do one and two.
And in the corner, seated in a wing chair of ivory and blue velvet, was the Vicar of Christ, Pope Francesco I. He was a plain man of wide girth, and the strong yet gentle features of Campagnolo, a man of the earth. Standing beside him was his personal secretary, a young black priest from America, from the Archdiocese of New York. It was like Francesco to have such a papal aide. The two were talking quietly, the pontiff turning his enormous head, his huge soft brown eyes looking up at the young priest in serene composure. Managi, whispered Francesco, his large peasant hand covering his lips. This is crazy. The entire city will be drunk for a week. Everyone will be making love in the streets. Are you sure we have it right? I double-checked. Do you want to argue with him? Replied the black, bending down in tranquil solicitousness. My God, no. He was always the smartest one in the villages. A cardinal approached the pontiff's chair and leaned forward. Holy Father, it is time. The multitudes await you, he said softly. Who? Yes, of course. In a minute, my good friend. The cardinal smiled under his enormous hat. His eyes were filled with adoration. Francesco always called him his good friend. Thank you, Your Holiness. The cardinal backed away. The Vicar of Christ began humming. Then words emerged. What are you doing? The young papal aide from the Archdiocese of New York, Harlem District, was visibly upset. Rodolfo's aria. Ah, that Puccini. It helps me to sing when I am nervous. Well, cut it out, man, or pick a Gregorian chant, at least a litany. I don't know any. Your Italian's getting better, but it's still not so good. I'm trying, brother. You're not the easiest to learn with. Come on now, let's go. Out to the balcony. Don't push, I go. Let's see.
So you just come here in the middle, you and Ian.
I thought if I was standing, giving, not taking, I should reverse it. Don't mess, just do what's natural. Then I sing. Not that natural, come on. All right, all right. The pontiff rose from his chair and smiled benignly at all the room. He turned once again to his aide and spoke softly so that no one could hear. In case anyone should ask, which one is San Gennaro? Nobody will ask. If someone does, who's your standard reply? Ah, yes. Study the scriptures, my son. You know, this is all crazy. Walk slowly and stand up straight. And smile, for God's sake. You're happy. I'm miserable, you African. Pope Francesco I, Vicar of Christ, walked through the enormous doors out onto the balcony to be greeted by a thunderous roar that shook the very foundations of St. Peter's. Thousands upon thousands of the faithful raised their voices in exaltation of the Spirit. Il Papa, il Papa, il Papa. And as the Holy Father walked out into the myriad reflections of the orange sun setting in the west, there were many in the chambers who heard the muted strains of the chant emerging from the holy lips. Each believed it had to be some obscure early musical work, unknown to all but the most scholarly, for such was the knowledge of the erudito, Pope Francesco. That son of a bitch, Brigadier General Arnold Symington, brought his paperweight down on the thick layer of glass on his Pentagon desk. The glass shattered, fragments shot through the air in all directions. He couldn't. He did, sir, replied the frightened lieutenant, shielding his eyes from the office shrapnel. The Chinese are very upset. The Premier himself dictated the complaint to the diplomatic mission. They're running editorials in the Red Star and broadcasting them all over Radio Peking. How the hell can they? Smithington removed a piece of glass from his little finger. What the hell are they saying? We interrupt this program to announce that the American military representative, General Mackenzie Hawkins, shot the balls off a 10-foot jade statue in Sontai Square.
Not twice. So, that's it?
Yeah.